Pod Culture, episode 293, Corduroy She-Ra, part A, for Wednesday, October 26, 2011. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture. Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Pod Culture. I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Christina.
And we have no Adam.
No.
We are Adamless.
He's doing some fun stuff.
Yeah. So, what has everyone been up to, Christina?
Woo, I get to go first. Not much. Watching some new TV shows and got some new audiobooks to listen to. And
from audibletrial.com/podculture.
Yes. let's see what else. Halloween is approaching, so I'm enjoying all the pumpkin flavored stuff.
Or has approached by the time they hear this. Who knows?
Well, it's still the Thanksgiving Halloween season, so all the pumpkin stuff will still be out for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for fall.
So, yes, the lovely autumnal flavors and loveliness.
Don't think she's very good at
what
fall.
You're mean. I'll push you down, and then you'll fall. And then, let's see, not really much of anything. Just enjoying the weather. It's gorgeous outside.
Yeah, a little on the chilly side.
Whatever it was.
You're from the Great White North, just about.
It's gorgeous.
Any further north and you would be in the lake.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, you'd be going a-boot.
A-boot.
Glenn, what have you been up to?
I've been playing a lot of Rage.
Nice.
On the 360.
Against the machine?
Yeah.
With the machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Rage with the machine.
But mainly single player, so I guess it is against the machine. Yeah. I had mentioned it before, but I didn't realize. At the time, I said I hadn't played any of the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on and played around with that a little bit. And it's a lot of fun. I knew there was a multiplayer, like, vehicular mode.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, what is it, like a co-op missions thing. It's called like Legendary Missions or something like that.
Cool.
And what you do is you play not the main character you were playing before. You play different characters that you've met along the way in the storyline.
Oh, neat.
And you're playing on maps that you've played on before, but you're actually playing, like the first one I played, it's like, well, this is how that one main character you met, this is how he got that sniper rifle. And you're playing some characters from his camp, and they go in, and they're in a jail, and they're fighting their way through, and, you know, at the end, they, you know, pick up the sniper rifle, and that's the one that he gave you later on in the game that you played.
So you play a bunch of flashbacks.
Yeah, you're playing flashbacks that are related to the story, but as other side characters.
That sounds pretty cool.
And it's a, you know, two-player co-op.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of fun. I mean, that adds a lot of replay value or whatever, and I was very happy. Because I didn't know that was in there when I bought it.
Cool.
And it's the O factor. It's like, oh, so that's how that happened.
Yeah. And I've only played one of those so far, but it was pretty long, mm-hmm. and it was a lot of fun. And then I played some of the multiplayer, the vehicular combat. And there's a lot of different modes for that, which is pretty cool. One of them, there's this meteor, Feltrite, that falls down. And you've got to go and try to pick up the Feltrite before other people get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to go over these different points and deposit it before you get blown up so that you actually get the points.
It's kind of like, was it ATV Off-Road Fury where you had to pick up... I'm sorry, Smuggler's Run, where you had to pick up the stuff in your ATV thing and you had to race to a certain checkpoint and drop it off and you only had a certain amount of time and you had to sort, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
But in this, the checkpoint's there, but once it's used, it goes away and it'll reappear somewhere else.
Oh.
So it's constantly moving. And
cool.
Then there's another one that's Rally Point, and these Rally Points will appear, and the more you get consecutively, the more points you get. But if someone else gets one before you do, then you start over, kind of thing. So,
oh, like a bonus multiplier kind of thing.
Yeah. And you've got rockets and machine guns and force field bubbles and dropping mines and all sorts of stuff. So it's a lot like the old Twisted Metal games or something like that. So considering, you know,
like
in the
Mario
past,
Kart on crack.
Yeah. So in the past, you know, you would have paid for a game like that. But instead, this is just kind of a little bonus mode for the game that you bought that's got the cool single player. So I've been enjoying that a lot.
Cool.
I need to get as much playing that in as I can because Battlefield 3 is about to come out.
And
yeah.
Soon after that, Modern Warfare 3. So,
and somewhere in there, Halo Anniversary.
Yeah, that's true.
Is there any kind of 3 involved in that? Because that would be a neat theme.
No, Halo 3 was...
I know, I'm just saying. It's like Halo, like Battlefield 3 and, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to Halo. That's probably my next big game.
Especially, I mean, if it's only $20, is that what I heard? It's going to be
$20 or $29, I think. Okay. I mean, it's going to be a cheaper game,
right?
I think.
Then so. I definitely want to pick it up. I mean, I still got all my old original Xbox versions and stuff. It'd be nice to have it all HD,
shiny,
and on the new engine, and then supposedly switch back and forth on the fly.
See, that's cool.
Really?
Just to see how far it's come.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
Yeah, that would be funky.
I'm listening to an Irish radio station during the day, and they're giving away copies of Battlefield 3 every so many days, and then at the end of the week, they're giving away PlayStation 3. And I'm like, Battlefield 3, I'm like, I wonder if they would, if I could enter. I don't think I could enter from here, but that would be kind of cool if I could.
Yeah, because aren't PS3 games region free, or some are, some aren't?
I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
I know, thought some are and some aren't. I guess, I mean, that's pretty much that on any game. So I don't know. But speaking of games, I've have finally completed the story in Dead Island.
The first time around.
Yeah, the first time around. It's, you know, without spoiling anything, it kind of called the ending a little bit. Let's just say if you've played Bioshock.
I was going to say, would you kindly tell me, but
yeah.
that spoils it just as well as you just did, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of it, though, but I'm only, chapter 12, maybe?
Are you in the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a hard time watching it before, but since Walking Dead's comeback, I haven't even had a hard time watching it. I'm like, if I sit here and watch this, I'm not going to go to sleep. Or if I go to sleep, I'm going to have some weird dreams.
It's pretty funky, and I am thoroughly convinced there's one scene that's got to have been Whedon-inspired.
Ew.
And we'll just kind of leave it at that.
Mm. Well, people have died so many different ways in the Whedonverse. It could be a lot of things.
But yeah, finished that. Pretty cool. Still liking the game. Went back. And neat thing about it is when you complete, you start all the way over, but you don't start from the first mission, because that's kind of the one that teaches you the controls and that kind of crap.
You're past the tutorial now.
Yeah. But you kind of start over from where the story really gets going. And you have all your inventory, your cash, and the mods, and all that stuff that you've gained. But you can't go. It doesn't open up where you could go anywhere. You literally start the game over and go from there. But you still have all your cash and experience and all that. And the zombies still are leveled up.
Ah, boo.
But
I mean, it's good. It's good.
But you've got like maxed out weapons at that point, though. Yeah. So then you get to have fun and really. Kick some ass, I would imagine.
Or try new mods that you didn't do before.
I mean, the zombies are still around your level, you know, one or two above or below, that kind of thing. And you can rack in some good cash, you know, going through there.
Are their shoes all tied, too?
Huh?
I remember I said how random it is in Walking Dead that all the zombies, all the walkers, their shoes are always tied.
You never see a zombie tripping over their shoelaces?
You never see a zombie tripping over shoelaces.
Bow biters.
Oh, my God.
Zombie bow biters. That would be awesome.
That would be really cool.
You're getting, you know, if you
I don't often agree with you, but that would be cool.
Awesome. Zombie Popeye. Air laces. So yeah, having fun with that, and you know, watching some TV and that kind of stuff. I had to look for another game here fairly soon, but
oh yeah, twist your arm.
Yeah, but there really isn't anything on the horizon other than Halo that kind of calls me. I'm not the Battlefield and Modern Warfare kind of player.
I want Plants vs. Zombies 2. There's not one coming out that I know of, but I loved the first game so much, I would like another one.
They could just keep doing expansions.
They could. That would be awesome.
They could do, like, Plants vs. Martians or something.
Yeah, I don't know. The zombies were kind of cute.
Really?
Yeah.
They could be cute Martians.
Martians vs. zombies?
Martians. Ooh.
Zombie Martians?
That'd be good. No. No.
They could be, like, in Mars Attacks. They'd be like, whatever they did.
That movie was so bad. And leave it on.
And that note.
And on that note, let's wrap up the open and leave that festering pile of stinky cheese.
Ew.
Right over there in the corner where it belongs.
Ew.
It's Munster cheese for Halloween.
Oh, boo, Glenn. Now, see, you were doing really well.
All right. And we will be back with more pod culture right after the chatter.
Sure, I even really care anymore. Following along now feels like a chore. A countdown, a civil war, 52 changes, a green world war, and a secret invasion. I don't want to stop, but it's wearing me out. You and me know this is not what it's all about. We've been dedicating lives, we've been reading all the lines. It doesn't have to be this way. Nobody always needs to die. We don't need our summer long. So tired of it. When I was just 9, I would get an allowance to go buy a comic and a Slurpee and corn nuts. Another big story, I was spazzing out. Couldn't wait to see what all the buzz was about. And everyone told me that everything changes over the summer. I couldn't quite see it, I could tell by the cover. Nothing really changed except for me. So I'll keep buying, that's the way it'll always be. We've been dedicating lives, we've been reading all the lines. It doesn't have to be this way. Nobody always needs to die. We don't need our summer long. So tired of it. Events are getting out of hand. I'd kill for a one shot on the stand. And walls of all kinds breaking bang. I wonder who to thank. I need to know which way this crossover ends. So next year we can do it all over again. Don't look now, it's another new crisis. The world's gonna burn, will the heroes unite us? I don't think I really even care anymore. But I'm only fooling no one, see you next week at the store.
Okie dokie, we are back with a little more pod culture fun. And got a little something special. Kind of keeping in with this superhero-ish theme that we've kind of got going on for this episode, comic book, that kind of thing. Got some DVD reviews, kind of talking about, because we don't do reviews per se most of the time.
Just kind of talking about cool stuff.
But there's been two pretty cool ones come out almost back to back, really. And we're going to kind of talk about them. You want to do them in chronological order or alphabetical order?
I'll go chronological.
Okay. And what's the first one we got there, Glenn?
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Never heard about that on this show.
No. Oh, yeah, there's that guy.
Yeah. He kind of looks like that guy over there. Or over here. No, that's Silver Surfer. Over here.
I'm here.
But yeah, Green Lantern on Blu-ray. The Ryan Reynolds movie came out this past summer and didn't suck nearly as hard as I thought it would.
He's a hottie.
It wasn't perfect, but I liked it quite a bit. And, you know, I get most of my... I don't get everything on Blu-ray. I still don't get everything on Blu-ray, mm-hmm. but I definitely get the superhero movies on Blu-ray. But I just knew from all the CG work and the fine details, especially in his costume, I was like, you know, that's going to be a Blu-ray. It has to be a Blu-ray to see all that detail, you know. But, of course, like you did, I don't have a 3D TV, but I bought the 3D Blu-ray.
Yeah, because it's like... It's the Blu-ray 3D. It comes with the 3D Blu-ray, DVD, and digital copy.
Yeah.
I love so digital kind of copy. I love that.
Like a thick pack
mm-hmm.
and heavy. But it comes with a cool 3D lenticular cover.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Shiny.
Yep.
Not so much. That was the exclusive Best Buy metal case that they had for just the Blu-ray, DVD, and digital copy, which was kind of tempting because it was cool. It was really cool looking.
The whole rest of that day, he's like, so would your brother like this? Would your dad like this? I'm like, well, you know, we could just send him the regular, you know, DVD copy. And like, his face kind of falls. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? And he's like, are you trying to pawn this copy off on them so you could get...
No. I would buy the other
he
one.
He wants an excuse to have the shiny one,
send them the DVD
too.
Copy out of there. So I could have the metal case.
Right.
You already have a copy.
I know, but I don't have the metal case.
Oh, yeah. For goodness sake.
But yeah, there are absolute crap ton of features on this thing.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite part of any Blu-ray / DVD anything is the extra stuff.
So I'm not crazy about this ultraviolet digital copy on Flixster kind of thing. Yeah, you can stream it, but I haven't tried. There's one called Maximum Movie Mode. Which I guess is like crap pops up.
Mm-hmm. Pop-up videos.
Have you tried that?
I haven't tried that yet. Not in this.
I think I would like that too because it's extra trivia to learn about the character and everything.
Yeah, I mean, if you've already seen the movie,
right.
This is another way to enjoy it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, and it's an extended cut too.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the extended cut?
Yes, okay. We did.
I noticed a lot of stuff early on. I mean, like...
Yeah, it's all early on, it looks like, with young Hal and young...
Oh my goodness.
Carol and Hector.
Yeah.
Poor Hector. But I think that was such an important scene when they were children that should have been left in the movie because that helps tell the story about how even when he was a kid, he was, you know, he got the shaft. It's like, mm-hmm. So I think that would have gone a long way to explain how he is.
Yeah, why he was instead of creepy as hell.
Pedophile.
Which he kind of fucked with his origin too.
Well, yeah.
Quite a bit.
So did you notice anything later in the movie? I couldn't really.
Not so much. I'm mm-hmm. sure there was probably bits and pieces or a little bit, but not so much, no. I'd probably have to go back and watch a regular and then turn around and watch it.
Right. But, yeah, that part, the added part with them as kids was mm-hmm. good at the beginning, but then they left in the part from the regular cut with the flashbacks later on,
right.
That was kind of like redundant at that point because it's like, well, we just saw that a little while ago.
Yeah.
But overall, it was good to have that. I'm glad if they shot it, I'd like mm-hmm. to see it.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was all early on was the extended stuff because if you watch all through the credits,
mm-hmm.
which we did, and they're long, at the end, there's additional scenes and it credits an actor and an actress, young Hal, young Carol, and young Hector. So. But yeah, there's all kinds of extra featurettes and stuff on there, making of character bios, that kind of crap. And then one thing that I'm not sure that how I feel about digital comic. Justice League number one from the new DCU, which mm-hmm. folks have probably heard me before. I need to kick Dan DeDito right in the nards, man.
I'm sure you're not alone.
No. They've succeeded at getting folks talking. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Did you download the digital comic, or how does that work?
It's actually
it's on there. It's on,
on
the
thing, and you can advance page by page, or actually it kind of shifts focus kind of thing, which to me is kind of distracting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a comic book reader, but I think from the point of view, just seeing it on the screen, it's so bright and crisp and clear. And I'm looking at our lighting situation in our front room going, this would not look as clean and clear like on paper. I mean, I know it's the difference between like, you know, a Kindle and a book, but I mean, it's just, it's so bright and you can see the contrast and you can see the fine lines. I think, I mean, from that aspect, it's cool. From an art, you know, strictly an art perspective, I think it's cool to see it on a television screen.
Yeah, I mean, it's still art. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's Jim Lee stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Justice League translates all that well into the Jim Lee style, but that's just me.
Or like you said, it might be cool if you've got like a tablet and you're, you know,
yeah,
reading it
cool.
on a tablet. That would be cool too, but I mean, just from like the backlit.
No, the ultimate
looks cool.
Geekgasm would be if they could do something like the Kindle in full color, not a backlit screen.
Right.
But something like a full color e-ink.
That'd be cool.
They do have color e-ink, but it's kind of dim.
So far.
Yeah, so far. But if they could do a full color, like you're looking at a printed comic page, that might be kind of cool. I don't think it, like the Kindle will never really replace books. I don't really see it happening of electronic comics, digital comics replacing traditional stuff.
I just think of it like your comic books, like.
But boy, I wish it would save a lot of goddamn space.
No, yeah. That's the thing. It's like you read them once or twice while they're out and then you pack them away. And you probably never see them again. And they're in the closet and you can't see them on the shelf like, you know, your regular book collection is out on a shelf. Mm-hmm. Or like the paperbacks.
Most of them anyway.
Trade paperbacks are like on shelves. But like the comic books, like I totally appreciate the art form, but it's like you read them once or twice and you put them in a long box and you never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
And
a couple on the walls.
No, but you know what I mean. Like on the whole. So something like digital, I think, would be, you know, cool. This way you don't have to worry about sitting them in a closet.
I'm kind of torn on that. Of course, I'm a collector.
Right, right.
Of everything. I can't help it. So, you know,
this week on Hoarders.
Seriously. Will I feel like a collector if I switch to digital?
But I think the titles that are the most important to you, I think you get them either way, you know, like in print regardless.
Yeah, I can see something happening kind of like
stuff that you don't normally care as much about or stuff that you're only picking up temporarily.
I can see comics probably moving to something like where maybe the monthlies are digital and then you have your collector edition trades or something like that. Along with books. I do get stuff on the Kindle quite often. A lot of popcorn kind of readings, but stuff that is special to me, you know, like Scott Sigler's books. They're really good and really entertaining. I've got hard copies sitting there. The Stephen King books.
And if you've got them
that kind of
coming
stuff
out every Wednesday like they do already, there's still that sense of excitement of, you know, oh, it's Wednesday, got my new stuff to download.
Gotta see Doug.
Yeah. Oh,
one
poor
thing,
Doug.
I just saw an ad for the DC app, and the ad said that it was only for iPhone, iPad, and like the PC.
Ooh,
it's like exclusive.
I think that'll change. I really do. Because one, Android's the best-selling operating system for a phone there is.
You know, though, I take that back because I don't want to see what few comic shops are left go the way of Borders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't want to see that happen because there are so few left as it is.
No kidding, it is hard, but it's gonna steer away from
the
comics.
Well, no, but it opens up a good mm-hmm. topic, and I'd like to know what other people think.
Yeah.
I know when I went to the comic shop last, issue 2 of Justice League mm-hmm. had come out, and I noticed they had two different versions. They had the regular version, then they had one that was a polybagged version, and it cost like a dollar more. And I went and looked at it. I was like, what the heck's this? And it included a digital copy of the comic.
Yeah, and it's just a damn code you enter for it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just a code? It's not like, oh, geez.
Not like a disc or anything like that. It's just a code. I assume it is, because if you feel the magazine, there's no disc in there.
Ooh. But I will say, the Green Lantern, on our television screens, I noticed a few more things than I noticed when I saw it in the theater. Maybe it was because it was in 3D and I had the glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see as much of, like, the softer lighting effects, like the scene where Hector, he's in his dad's office,
mm-hmm.
and it's where he finds out that his dad chose him for the project.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Hector, how the light is so soft and yellow in the room, I'm like, oh, that's clever. I did not see that in the theater. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was, you know, cool that, you know, such a subtle little lighting effect is so important, you know, for who he'll become.
And then just, you know, having it where there's no distractions around you, that kind of thing. You did see a lot of stuff.
Well, at the theater, I was looking at a lot of 3D stuff mm-hmm. at that point. Like, when they were in the offices, I was looking and saying, oh, well, there's a cool, like, model
plane
on a pedestal, and that creates a nice 3D effect. And it's cool the way they, you know. So
yeah.
I was distracted by admiring the 3D mm-hmm. and might have missed something subtle like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the first time I saw it, when I went to the midnight showing with Shane, we saw the digital version. And then I think
We all went later on that day. Yeah,
later on that day, 3D. But yeah, it was just awesome to look at, like, the Green Lantern crowd scenes
mm-hmm.
and see the detail that they put in there. Because if you're a big Green Lantern geek, there you can spot, okay, that's Jack T. Chance. Okay, there's Stell. There's, you know, this Green Lantern, that Green Lantern. I recognize this one from a panel and that kind of stuff, which was pretty damn cool.
You know, when I watched the Blu-ray with my dad, even he was noticing all the similarities to the Superman movie. You know, the little bits of the theme felt like they were kind of sneaking in there a little bit. And then just the narration at the mm-hmm. beginning and the out on the porch with Carol mm-hmm. was kind of like on the balcony
the
balcony with Lois Lane and Superman. So there were just so many
things.
They
even had a crashing helicopter.
Yeah.
Aww.
Exactly. I mean, that's how Superman made his debut, wasn't it? In the 77 movie, he saved Lois from the helicopter.
You got me. Who's got you?
Right. And so then here, I mean, I guess they felt that formula worked.
Right.
We'll do it again. It'll be familiar. We'll just paint him green.
But they did some nice stuff with it, like kind of poking fun at the whole superhero secret identity kind of thing a little bit.
That was brilliant.
I mean, that's about Christina's favorite line from the movie,
I think. It is, because I love Lois Lane, but damn, it drives me crazy. You know, it's like, what, you think because I can't see your cheekbones, I don't know it's you?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you naked. But in the behind-the-scenes thing, I want to know how much of that bit was them and how much of that was in the script. Because he made it a point to say, you know what, if they're on a roll, I just let them go. So mm-hmm. I'd like to know how much of that was in the script and how much they just made up as they went.
Or Ryan Reynolds doing the Batman kind of voice.
That was so cute.
You know, right there. was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I really like the extra scenes, you know, the deleted scenes and stuff that were in there, because when they show them, have you gone and watched any of this?
I haven't seen the deleted scenes yet. No,
it's cool because some of the effects are done and some are not. So you see the tracking
all the
suits.
Dots.
You see all the dots and the funky stuff, and the fact that they had to do blue screen rather than green screen.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, oh, that's the green. Oh, they can't do green screen in this movie, can they? That'd be kind of hard.
Well, there is chroma green, chroma blue, mm-hmm. and chroma red, actually, but red doesn't work as well. But
I'd always, up until I
you know, got into watching effects stuff in movies, knew of the Chroma Blue because that's what we used when I was in high school for the TV station.
Mm-hmm.
It was Chroma Blue.
Yeah, that's what the TV stations use for the blue
weatherman.
The weatherman. Yeah. Blue wall. So
you would know.
Yeah.
It did appeal to Emily. She was over. Little sister was over when we watched it, and every time
she liked Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I was gonna say every time you saw Ryan Reynolds in a tank top, she's like, "He's pretty." I said, "Yeah, he's pretty."
I kind of thought it was neat how when they did the effect of him ringing up, you know, putting the ring out,
ring finger.
you know, there's some great sight gags on there. And his sidekick on it, did they ever actually call him Tom?
I think they did.
Because is that supposed to be Pie Face? You know, I don't think they ever said a last name, but that was kind of a sidekick. They've really gotten away from
him. He looks so much like Moss on the IG grad. It's not even funny.
He looks a lot like Emil Hamilton on Smallville.
He really does.
Yeah.
Not Gator.
No, but the parting of his hair and the way the one part's bigger than the other one and the... Yeah, it's very much Moss, too.
But when they did with Hal, when he would power up, how his eyes change color, how they, I guess, put contacts in for Ryan Reynolds' eyes. Mm-hmm. When he puts a mask on, it's kind of reflective of, in the comic, they don't draw the eyes. The eyes are white,
right.
So they kind of fade that color out, and it kind of gives that effect. You still see the eyes, so you can still see the expression and everything, but it still has a little bit of that comic book white feel to it.
And you know, that started from the old, like the old Batman comics, the old stuff. When the characters were shrunk down small, they just, you know, you want to be able to see the eyes. Normally the costume, the mask is dark or something, so to make the eyes pop, they just
little
left them white.
Annie. Never had
Little
people.
Orphan Annie. Yeah.
She's just creepy, no eyes.
It's neat though.
So, yeah, it's worth picking up. If you like superhero movies, get it.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And definitely the Blu-ray.
Right. And his interview about, you know, why he loves Hal and why everybody loves Hal is so cool because, you know, it's like the more you see him talk about it, he really is Hal Jordan. I mean, he's got that sense of humor and he's got that, you know, kind of little kid about him. And yet he steps up and does what he has to do. It's really cool.
I think I read somewhere where he stole one or two of the rings, stole one of the rings or something.
Do you blame him? Wouldn't you?
Fuck yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will have to say, though, you got the ring from Toys R Us, the diecast ring, right?
Yeah, the diecast ring.
That's not a bad replica of the ring.
No, that's really nice. And I think now they had a thing, if you spent so much, you got one for free, or you could get them for $10 a piece at
Even
the time.
Even still, they were worth $10. Yeah,
they were worth,
I think I've seen them on Amazon for like $22 now.
Oh, my God.
Or something like that. So
yeah, I actually got two free because I bought $60. Surprised me by $60 worth of Green Lantern toys.
Yeah, I went to get more, but they were out of them by the time I went back.
Because Brad got two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got two. I think I probably got the one, got them at Clarksville, actually. I think.
I'd like to get another one of those packages that's the mask and the light-up ring.
Yeah, I want to get one really nice. Now that they're starting to kind of clearance things out a little bit.
For Halloween? Yeah.
If you see any cheap, let me know.
Okay.
I mean, they're still $6-7, so not a big deal.
Yeah.
Not even, cool.
I'd like to have one to open because I haven't opened the one I bought originally.
So.
There you go.
I like how there's all kinds of Halloween costume stuff out, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's so cool.
It is awesome. It's a good time to be a Green Lantern geek.
I was going to say.
It's a good time to be a DC fan.
No kidding. Because the next thing we've got here is another one of the DC direct to video movies. Which I gotta say, both Marvel and DC have done these, but I think DC has done much better at this because they've adapted classic storylines or that kind of, you know, just classic tales and stuff.
And they have cooler featurettes, I think, on DVDs than the Marvel stuff that I've seen.
And something they've done recently that's probably the coolest of the featurettes are the shorts.
Yeah.
The characters showcase. That may not get their own tales.
They kind of dropped the showcase title from that. Well, it's actually on the package. It says DC Showcase with Catwoman being the backup on this one. But it didn't say it anywhere in the cartoon itself.
Yeah, so this is
Batman Year One.
Which, did you read the original comic when it came out? That was good stuff back in the day. It was like, yeah, this is the way Batman should be. This is really cool.
Gritty.
Gritty, yeah. Dark, really. Mm-hmm. Really good stuff. And so when I heard they were making that into a movie, I'm like, this is going to be worth waiting for.
Fascinating how, and we watched all the behind the scenes stuff on here. It's neat how they would take the comic art and the animation, because there's two very different visual
panel
mediums.
For panel. It was gorgeous.
And they would clean, you know, they kind of clean it up and adapt it, but it still had that same kind of feel.
And even the animation was, I mean, it was clean and beautiful, but it still had that kind of grittiness to it, which I think was really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
Frank Miller, of course.
Frank Miller and the whole fact that, you know, Batman Year One is a very noir kind of story, because It's not a Batman story in some ways. It's a Jim Gordon story.
Yeah, it really is. The scene that's the flashback, the iconic flashback that, of course, you're going to see in everything is the origin when he's a kid. Mm-hmm. And that scene, he's kneeling down and the street light lighting up the ground, that was just iconic. Seeing that in the cartoon, it was like flashing back to those panels in the comic and thinking, wow, I remember that. That image really stuck with me, and they did a great job of bringing that to life.
Wow.
The only problem I had with it is when the voice actor for Batman, who's, you know, wasn't Kevin Conroy, who normally does the Batman animated stuff.
It was kind of weird not hearing Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. It was a little stilted during, like, the dramatic dialogue kind of seemed to... Like the scene where he's talking to himself on the plane, you know, where you would normally see the written, you know, in the comic, you would see the thought bubbles or the captions or that kind of thing. It just seemed kind of stilted a little bit the way that he read it.
Andrea Romano, what were you thinking?
But
she's brilliant in that, you know, she directs so well. I'm like, okay, what was your thinking behind that?
And she had a little voice cameo herself.
She did. She was the obstetrician.
Which was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
But yeah, it was a very good story.
I really enjoyed it.
Great adapting it.
Very dark. I mean, I didn't know anything about it going into it, of course, like, you know, newbie. But I mean, it was really good. It was really dark and really, and poor Alfred, bless him. He's always cleaning up blood from something.
Oh, yeah. I'll ring the bell now. But yeah, the way they did the shots of one big thing that they had in the storyline was where they would, the way they lit Gordon in the comic, a lot of times you wouldn't see his eyes, you would see the reflection on the glasses. Mm-hmm. And right. The way that they did that in the comic, I don't want to really call it cartoon, even though that's what it is.
Animation
was awesome. And don't fuck with Commissioner Gordon. He will take your ass out.
Yeah. It was great to see him a little bit younger. Obviously, even in this, he's complaining about getting older. But, I mean, to see him a little bit of the action there was...
And, what was...
pretty cool.
Gil Loeb.
Yeah.
Was the old commissioner.
Commissioner Loeb.
I'm like, Loeb. I'm like, is the Gil from Gil Kane or what?
Probably.
Yeah, you know, they get the Loeb, obviously. Yeah. So there were some jokes and stuff there.
Like, I was wondering if he was some kind of villain, too, because he was all, like, I've said pedophile a few times in this episode, but, like, seriously creeptastic, because he had, like, you know, the sippy bird on his desk, and he had, like, the clown thing behind him, and he had a teddy bear on the shelf in the office.
I can't look at the damn sippy birds the same way since Darkman.
Looking at Brad now. But I mean, like, the stuff that he had in his office was really creepy. And I even asked Brad at some point, I said, is he some kind of a villain?
No, he's just
like,
distract.
If I didn't know that the Toymaker was a Superman villain, I would have thought this guy eventually becomes, because he's got all this weird crap in his office. But you never, I mean, it was just creepy.
Some of the stuff you see later on, like Falcone, he's into, like, Long Halloween.
I liked all
the Batman movie. I mean, Dark Knight.
I liked all the WB cartoon references.
Yeah, and
Huckleberry Hound.
Huckleberry Hound, Deputy Dog. The commissioner had Deputy Dog lamp on his desk. and or Droopy on his desk, and like
and there's Huckleberry, Elmer. Well, you don't see the face of the doll, but you see the back, and it's Elmer in his hunting outfit.
Yeah, it was super cute. I liked
that. There were some neat in jokes there.
It was really cute.
Well, you know, you can tell that the Gordon that was in the Dark Knight movie had to have borrowed from this Gordon, you know, because he was a little bit younger, a little bit, you know, not. There was a lot of year one in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've seen The Dark Knight, which I'm sure everyone has, then you know a little bit more what to expect here than the traditional.
They were influenced pretty heavily with Batman year one.
I think, he's got this one line where he said, "It's been a long time since I've taken down a Navy or a SEAL." Like, I'm like, he beats up on Navy SEALs. He's totally a badass. Yeah. I mean, like if I knew nothing else, and that was like the one line to go by of who this guy is, it's like, oh, he's kind of scary all by himself without Batman. Like,
you know, Commissioner Gordon's always been tough.
He didn't even need Batman to be
badass.
Scary.
Yeah, not counting the Adam West show. That's a different thing. But yeah, you know, he's pretty badass.
Like, at one point, I asked Brad, "Who does that Sarah chick become?" He goes, "The next Mrs. Gordon." Like, oh,
yeah, like kind of stuff. Yeah,
like because I'm thinking, okay, she's some kind of villain. You know, she becomes somebody too. Like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, because Barbara's named after his first wife.
Mm-hmm.
So,
aw.
Batgirl.
I enjoyed it. It was good.
Who is not Alfred's niece.
Yeah, right. Of course, we both got the Blu-ray plus DVD plus digital copy at Best Buy.
Action figure.
Got the
I was there when they opened the goddamn doors.
They open after I go to work, so I'm
sorry.
But they had plenty this time. I was able to get one.
Well, next time, if you want the figure, just... If you know he's going, just say, hey, here's the money, go.
You know? No, hopefully I'll have a job the next time that the next one that they previewed on here, actually, Justice League Doom, which kind of combines a couple of storylines, but seems to do it really, really well. I am and I'm not disappointed about one element they're changing for Justice League Doom. Some of it's based on the Tower of Babel storyline, which featured Kyle as the Green Lantern. Okay, they're changing it to Hal. But that's okay, because of who's doing the voice of Hal Jordan.
Oh, right.
Nathan.
I'm so glad.
I'm like, okay, that change I can live with on that one. It would have been kind of cool to see take on Kyle doing that. Because the only time we've really seen... Not really. It's mostly been John and Hal. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen
the Superman cartoon. I think had Hal, but he had Kyle's origin, kind of thing.
If they were doing a straight up adaptation of the Tower of Babel or whatever, and they made that change arbitrarily, I would say, that's crap. But since they're taking something else and combining it, making it something new. Then I say, let's go ahead and go with what people are familiar with.
Right, especially now.
Especially now after the Green Lantern movie, people are familiar with this Green Lantern. You don't want to confuse them.
Yeah.
It kind of, since they're doing the animation and, you know, they've got the whole Justice League there, they're getting the voices from, all the voices from the animated series.
I'm so happy.
Which is really cool because they do awesome.
They were perfect.
Which kind of surprised me, like, if they're going to change the Lantern to someone else and they have all these series voices there, why didn't make it Jon Stewart?
Said, they just had a big multi-million dollar Green Lantern movie.
They're not
going to
waste that momentum.
And it's pure fan way, because a lot of the fans would love to have seen, I would have held out about it, that fake trailer, that Green Lantern trailer,
of
fake Green
Nathan
Lantern
Fillion
trailer
is,
of Nathan
is oh my
is,
God,
Al
yeah, he
awesome.
Was brilliant.
Well, me being a old school Super Friends fan and the Legion of Doom or whatever, it'll be cool to see that happen in some modern animation with a little bit darker of a twist to it, which these are not kids' cartoons.
Oh, no. PG-13, no. Sex and violence.
Yeah, definitely sex and violence.
Well, at least violence.
Especially the Catwoman short.
Yeah, yeah, the Catwoman short was heavy on the sex.
Animated strippers. I don't think I can handle this.
Okay, like, you don't see anything, but there's a lot of side boob action going on.
Side boob, yeah. Wow. And like, as if you are a non-comic book fan who lives with or loves a comic book fan, these are the things for you, because all the, like, side documentaries, it will catch you up. Like, they are so good mm-hmm. about doing, like, a snapshot of these characters and then going into all this detail about where they come from and how they got the inspiration. And
she thinks Denny O'Neil's creepy.
He looks like Rigel from Farscape.
I had a nice conversation with him. He's one of the nicest guys.
Very sweet.
He's getting a little up there in age now, so he's starting to look a little older. But really nice guy.
Yeah. And no, but I mean, like, it's so great for somebody who doesn't really know, especially some of the more obscure characters, like in Jonah Hex.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. to see all that story that I would have no idea who this character is.
Yeah, I could have conceivably had seen them doing a Catwoman anime. Could have been some good Catwoman story arc mm-hmm. that they could do an animated series on.
But something like this was so specifically, like Year One was so specific. It helps a non-comic book fan to get where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And like, it's helpful and good.
And as a geek, you know, as a Whedon geek, Eliza Dushku doing the voice of Selena Kyle, mm-hmm. Catwoman. I like that they went with the old gray costume. Mm-hmm. In of course, that was in Batman Year One.
Right.
But in the Catwoman animated short, it's the kind of more modern take on it.
And Katie Sackhoff is always great as a voice actress. She just has a great voice.
She looks better even animated with longer hair.
She does. I can't deny.
That's the one thing about Selena and this. That I'm like, very butch.
Yeah, I called her Xena at one point. Sorry.
I think even Xena was a little less butch than that.
Xena had nicer hair.
True. But yeah, the extras are amazing on these things. Like with the Justice League Doom preview, it wasn't just a preview trailer.
Mm-mm.
No.
There's like a whole 20-minute, 30-minute featurette on that. This is what they're doing. This is the two storylines they're combining.
We're excited about it. Yeah, it's really cool.
And clips in the recording studio, seeing the actors do the voice and that kind of thing is just awesome.
And then as an extra bonus on this box set.
Now we're throwing stuff.
Dropped on the floor.
Yeah, I'm tossing across the office here. There's a sticker here. It says, includes the Cinema Now download of Batman Under the Red Hood animated movie.
Yeah, but I never saw the code for that anywhere in there.
Oh, really? Yeah. I haven't looked because I already own Batman Under the Red Hood.
Yeah, so do I.
Which was really good, by the way. But, I mean, that was their last Batman animated mm-hmm. movie, and they're giving it to you free when you buy this. So that's pretty
Yeah, well, you know, it's bits. Cool. What's it cost them?
Yeah, it doesn't cost them anything.
But, yeah, and of course,
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking inside the thing now to see maybe if it's in here, too.
Yeah, because Glenn's got his copy over there. Yeah. I've got the big box from our copy, and Christina has the actual DVD, so we can have little cheat sheets.
Oh, it says see back of sticker for details.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, here's something that makes me go boo.
What?
Digital copy offers expires the 18th. Oh, next year.
Next year.
Oh, thank God, because I'm like, boy, that would suck if they
usually
give
only about a year
time.
Or so. And most of the time, especially with the Warner Brothers stuff, they're a pain in the ass to download. So usually what I'll do is find someone that's already done it, nice clearance, download a pirated copy, and just keep that and not
just
redeem the code.
Done it myself.
Figuring it balances out.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
I would have just done it for you if you didn't want to do it.
Tell what he... No, they're a pain in the ass.
Yeah, says you. It's probably not as hard as you say.
It really is a pain in the ass.
Well, like I said, that code is apparently on the back of the sticker that's on the front of your box. So,
see, I even had to ask Brad because they're showing all this documentary about all the writers and the artists and stuff. I said, Brad. He said, what? I said, is Frank Miller dead? And he said, no, he just doesn't like to be filmed. I'm like, okay, good. Because I'm like, they're showing pictures of him, and they're talking about him and how great he is. And like, but nobody seems to see him.
No, he's not really social.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Actually, I just got a new graphic novel from him.
Really?
Yeah.
It's called Holy Terror.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, the one that was supposed to have been a Batman graphic novel?
Yeah, it was going to be a Batman graphic novel, but it was too intense, too controversial.
Oh, wow.
Because yeah, he was fighting Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in 20 years or so, it'll be fine.
I pre-ordered it on Amazon mm-hmm. and got it real cheap because it was going to be like a $30 hardback graphic novel, and I got it for like $18 or something like that.
See,
you know,
it's the thing everybody talks, like it's the thing all the geeks talk about. Like, why can't, if they really did exist, we could send Batman and Superman and all these superheroes mm-hmm. to go fight the bad guys. That's what they would do.
That's kind of interesting when if you get into the Justice Society stories with, you know, World War II and
yeah.
the secret. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Well, Holy Terror was pretty cool, and there's some really nice graphics in it, but there's also some graphics that are kind of like, you know, if there was a new guy that was showing his portfolio and had this in it, he wouldn't be getting any work, you know?
Well, it's kind of like the Dark Knight Strikes Back
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Returns, which is a great...
Yeah, just yeah. amazing.
And they really haven't done... Of course, they kind of did a whole series in that, in a way, with Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Love crabby ass Bruce Wayne, man. It's awesome.
Me too, yeah.
But that would be a great one for them to do a DVD. Mm-hmm. It'd be really freaking dark, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dark Knight Returns was great. The Dark Knight Strikes Back, kind of the sequel, not so much.
Yeah. I got more of that feeling from this. I mean, there were some neat things, and some of his stuff is so stark and graphical. You know, it's just, it's really neat, the decisions he makes and things, but then sometimes the stuff gets a little too loose, a little too, like, did you rush this? but it was neat looking at it going, okay, well, this guy, instead of Batman, he's the Fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a character that's obviously Catwoman. That's it. And they have the same Batman Catwoman relationship and everything. And then the city has a new name, but it's a
right.
fake city, and it's just like Gotham. And, you know, and there's a terrorist attack, and mm-hmm. then they go after the terrorists, and that's pretty much all there is to
it. Obviously, a Batman story.
It's obviously the Batman story. But the graphics are, you know, really stark black and white, and then there will be like maybe a third color thrown in here and there.
Hmm.
No. Like Sin City.
Yeah, a lot like Sin City. So,
cool.
It was pretty cool. I'm glad I picked it up, but I liked his work a lot more in the older Batman stuff, or in the his run on Daredevil was
yeah,
some of my favorite
stuff.
Yeah,
it was great stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Batman Year One, if you're near a Best Buy, pick up the Blu-ray if you got a Blu-ray player.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you don't think you might, pick it up the pack because it comes with a DVD too.
And digital copy.
And if you're lucky out and still have it, they'll have the little Catwoman toy, which is actually really good.
I was just telling Brad, I'm like, they don't even have any women in these cute little pack-in action figures. What the hell?
They have done a Wonder Woman, but
she's
not,
different.
Yeah, it's not like
not
the little
right.
mini statuette kind of
she
thing.
She doesn't match the other ones.
On the last, oh gosh, eight or so now
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah.
She doesn't match the other ones, and I like when they all look nice on the mm-hmm. shelf together.
But yeah, pick it up. It's pretty damn good and lots of extras to enjoy.
Yes,
yeah.
please.
Yeah, it was great. Great stuff. I'm glad it finally came out.
I look forward to all their stuff.
Awesome. All right, and we will be back with more Pod Culture right after we find some more comic movies to watch.
Mm-hmm. So, tell me about yourself.
George, you start.
Are you okay?
I've been better.
You?
Likewise.
We should go out one night and just get hammered.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's it? That's how you share?
What more is there to say?
Yeah, he's feeling a bit down, which is pretty understandable, and I'm kind of stressed. We don't need to turn this into an episode of Oprah.
I don't know what we're waiting for to happen.
Don't forget me, will you?
I have to go.
What do we do? We're going to get her back.
Being Human Cast, a fan-created, not-for-profit podcast to review and discuss the BBC TV show Being Human. Join us for new fanfic, episode discussions, interviews, and a whole lot of fun.
You can find us on iTunes or on the web at www.beinghumancast.com.
We'll see you later.
Okay. I'll see you later, guys.
It's time to tickle your sweet tooth once again. We're back with a little geek cuisine, and, yeah, Glenn?
I'm having fun.
Don't play with your food.
I think your girlfriend, your girlfriend, shit, take a drink. Your wife has, no, wait a minute, take a drink if you say it.
She That's can right. still be his girlfriend. And your wife at the same time.
You better be, right?
Yeah, she has way too much fun inflicting this shit on
me. I know,
I'm
having fun because he's cute.
All right, we got some Halloween candy.
Yay!
It's and spooky.
You'll be really glad to hear that this one is artificially flavored.
We're going to drop some acid.
Because they
citric
are
acid.
Grave gummies candy. Grave gummies, that's right.
Can be worse than the pirate choppers.
That's what the big bag says, grave gummies. But if you look at the individually wrapped, it says yummy gummies.
Yummy gummies.
They should have called them yummy mummies or gummy mummies.
Oh, gummy mummies.
But they're not
cute.
Mummies. This is kind of a skeleton. This is kind of like Skeletor looking.
Okay.
Skeletor lantern. I got a green one.
And they come in a nice green or orange or yellow.
And they smell, it smells good.
Oh, look, mine's doing the pee-pee dance.
It's like Terrence and Phillip. Oh, my God.
Like all the great geek cuisine, it is made in China.
I mean, it doesn't feel plasticky. I mean, it feels like gummy something.
It's very Play-Doh.
That's a plus.
No, but it feels like a gummy. It doesn't feel like anything weird.
It just needs a Hawaiian LA. So we have little school.
Oh, little gummy luau skulls.
There's a gummy luau skeleton. Those were the nastiest things.
I still say they were just decorations. They weren't meant to be eaten.
I'm going to vamp him.
Oh, you vamped him?
I pulled his head off.
You put him out of his misery first?
I did. I pulled his little head off.
They put a lot of work in the packaging.
I do.
No shit. They're like glued to cardboard.
Yeah.
And then when you open it, there's a little plastic tray that he's laying on.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Grave gummies candy. Hmm. Yummy.
And it actually
they're
is.
Not that bad.
Actually, really? It is yummy. The orange is really orange. Hmm.
It does feel a lot like a gummy, but it's still kind of a little different.
It's got a bit of a powder.
So it won't stick to stuff.
Mine kind of needs candy agra.
A dry top, because, I mean, it's got a lot of texture to it, because it actually looks like a little, skeleton.
Yeah, it's like they put some kind of cornstarch or something on them a little bit.
Just to keep the shape from.
Yeah.
It really is orange, though. It's pretty good.
Are you Ozzy Osbourne?
Mm-hmm.
He never did that. It's a myth.
I haven't seen him bust it yet.
Yes, he has. Didn't you used to watch Ozzy Osbourne?
I don't know about MythBusters.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's not
actually pretty
bad.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Which is unusual. A lot of these gummy
almost like candy jerky.
No, it tastes like a gummy something. Gummy, insert.
Yeah, it's green apple.
Insert shape here. Yeah, it's good.
I think.
I had an orange one as well. I should have tried the yellow one, but
we saved one for Adam.
Yeah. You should have had the yellow one.
Those are my weakness.
Well, you eat it and make it go away.
I had a little jaundice skeleton.
Oh, my God. That jaundice is a baby. Leave me alone.
Not as scary as they look.
No, they're actually pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Let me guess. Dollar store?
Well done, Carly. Well done.
I believe so. I believe it's the dollar store.
Dollar Tree, whatever?
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
12 pieces for a dollar.
Not bad at all.
Nope, totally worth it.
Yeah.
We survived.
What are they again?
They are Grave Gummies candy.
Look them up. I give them a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yummy gummy.
I'm for anything gummy except the pirate choppers.
Yeah.
So, and we will be back right after this slimy yet satisfying geek cuisine.
They're not really slimy, though.
Yeah, but it made for a good line.
Don't lie to the listeners.
Thank you.
I'm giant, I'm strong and the mutant of the town. You know that I'm near when a building tumbles down. But smashing and bashing has never been my goal. Cause really, deep down I got the music in my soul. I'm the Hulk and I just wanna play the ukulele. Oh, but I soak when the others tell me that I'm crazy. Oh, Spider-Man says that I can, cause my hands will crush it flat. I'm the Hulk and I just wanna play the ukulele. So I got up the nerve and went to the music store. And they told me they'd bill me for that broken door. I tried playing one and it was going pretty bad. And expensive objects don't like me when I'm mad. What started as Hulk Strong devolved into Hulk Smash. I offered some lab coats because I had no cash. At that point, I felt like my music dream was done. And for once in my life, I felt like the puny one. I'm the Hulk, and I just wanna play the ukulele. Oh, but I soak when the others tell me that I'm crazy. Oh, Wolverine says that I can't, cause my hands will crush it flat. I'm the Hulk and I just wanna play the ukulele. I clear the pools when I swim. I wreck the stage when I dance. Got a lifetime ban from football, and I ripped all my leather pants. But still I marvel at the ukulele, looking for a sign. And I know I have a song in me that's gonna smash your mind. And I'm angry and I scream, and it makes me feel so green. Then one day I woke up, and much to my surprise, there was a giant ukulele right before my eyes, with chrome-plated strings and a can of super glue, along with a banner that said to Hope of Bruce. Now I play through the day and I play into the night, and I play for the army whenever they stop by. So make sure you're watching when my first concert's shown, cause I'm the most smashing ukulele player ever known. I'm the Hulk and I just wanna play the ukulele. Oh, but I soak when the others tell me that I'm crazy. Oh, don't tell me that I can, or my hands will crush you flat. I'm the Hulk and I just wanna play the ukulele.
Hey guys, this is Brad. This is where we take a little bit of a break. Remember, Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed weekly. So tune in again, same time next week, for another geek-filled episode of Pod Culture.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, Equal Opportunity Geekness.
Why didn't they release the Spider-Man TV show on DVD when the Spider-Man movies came out?
You would think.
Maybe they'll do that when Amazing Spider-Man comes out.
Or some kind of rights.
The costume looks pretty cool.
Is it some kind of rights thing?
No, because they've come out before.
Oh.
Well, they didn't come out.
They're on VHS. I know that.
Well, what they did was, it was an hour-long weekly series.
Mm-hmm.
For syndication, it didn't run long enough to be a series in syndication.
Oh.
So what they did was, they would take the like multi-part stories or whatever, or even some that aren't related,
mm-hmm.
and edit them together into a movie.
Oh, I see.
And give it a title as if it were a movie, and then they would run them on like Sunday afternoon or whatever.
See.
You'd
okay.
see a Spider-Man movie. It was just two episodes thrown together.
I get it.
So
that's not bad.
When LaserDisc first came out,
I love it.
The original, like in a big cartridge,
and we're not recording
this.
Why?
I don't know.
It's on there.
Stop.
It's being recorded.
When the original LaserDisc came out, the big cartridge LaserDisc, they released those Spider-Man movies.
Oh, wow.
On LaserDisc.
That's cool.
But I don't believe that they've ever been released otherwise.
How?
I saw a t-shirt online. I have to find it again and send it to Carly. But it says, LaserDisc is the future. With Lil Hitler.
Lil Hitler.
Have you seen that, Glenn?
I don't know.
Lil Hitler is in like grade school with all the other kids. And he's picking on the other kids. He's picking on Poland and the other kids. And little America is sitting there with his little star-spangled thing on his head and his sunglasses. He goes, I'm not even involved with you. And little Japan kid comes over and knocks down little America's drink on his desk. Not involved.
You
gotta YouTube it later because it's way funnier than I explained it. It's so funny. I like how when they talked about how when the ring comes to get Hal and it sucks him up into the bubble, how there's this big crane that like bungees Ryan Reynolds into the air, and they didn't do a rehearsal take. They wanted to get his reaction.
Guess that every time he'd get to the apex, he'd shout out some random line to whoever was up there. The rice pudding! random as crap.
I thought he looked awfully scared.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, they just...
Because that's not the kind of thing you can fake. You know?
I mean, you know it's coming, but it's just like, shit!
Yeah. It's good. Well, it's like roller coasters. You know exactly what's coming, but you still scream. The radio station that I listen to. The one guy, Dermot, there's a show on 11 o'clock here, but it's like the drive home show over there. And it's like award-winning, you know, Dermot and Dave are the two guys. And, I always get them mixed up, but the one guy, I guess the Haribo candies are big over there, the gummies.
Mm-hmm.
And he like ate a whole bag of whatever shape it was. And like, he goes, I'm so ashamed. I ate them all myself. Oh, wait, there's a yellow one left. Do you want it? Oh, no, good. Oh, well, then I'll just eat it myself. Like, yeah, I was laughing so hard. Because like, you could, like, they have a thing where you could watch it online in mm-hmm. this studio. They have cameras on, you know, the whole time, so you can watch them. And it's so fun to watch them because it's like they're so stupid. And there he is eating his bag of gummies like there's no tomorrow. It's so funny.
Wow.
And the other guy, yesterday, it was on, he bought a 15 pound, which ends up being what, like $23, like a tube of cookies, like, or, you know, and like $23 cookies, and it was ginger chili cookies. Like, and it's so something we would try, but mm-hmm. I felt like sending them an email going, would you consider sending us an email or calling our voicemail and telling us how those cookies are, because this is what we do, you know?
That would be cool.
All right.